Blog Talk Radio.
We've been experiencing some technical difficulties. Mommy's going to be online in just a moment. How did you do today in the eclipse? Oh my goodness. We're just waiting one moment for Mommy to call in. Sybil will be online fast. Aha, here we go. And, Mommy, can you hear me?
Yes, Hello? I can. Are we on the air?
We are live. We are on the air right now.
Okay, so what is going on? I wasn't aware that Mercury was in retrograde, but... bonjour mes amis, comment ça va? Ça va bien? I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. Gwendolyn, my producer, and I have been having some technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio. This is indeed Come Now, Don't Sulk, which is part of the Here Be Monsters studio. And we are on the Blog Talk Radio network right now. For those of you that tuned in at 8 o'clock sharp, we were scrambling and trying to deal with all sorts of technical difficulties, and Gwendolyn finally got it together. She's my producer, my muse, and she is the head chemist and founder of DaughtersOfIsis.com. That's DaughtersOfIsis.com, all one word, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and they back us every week, and they are our sponsors. And we also receive sponsorship from people and listeners like you. Thank you. Gwendolyn, my goodness, I don't know what to say. So you patched us in, what, through the phone or through two tin cans and a string? I mean, how are we being heard over the airwaves right now?
Basically, we've got Campbell's soup working for us this evening. The lines are up. There's a little jerking motion, but we aren't going to pay attention to that. Here we are, and here we shall stay till 9 p.m.
Great.
And exit stage
okay.
left.
Okay, I'm going to give the phone number just out. I'm going to do that real fast. For those of you that would like to try and call in tonight, because we were going to talk about a whole bunch of things, having not been able to do our show last week, our phone number is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Feel free to call in. This is Come Now, Don't Sulk live, and we're broadcasting all around the world right now. Literally, podcasts go instantly all around the world. Can you imagine? So right now, it's 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and it's 8 a.m. In Sri Lanka or somewhere strange and wonderful. Anyway, so tonight we were going to discuss a whole bunch of things. Gwendolyn, astrologically, is there something we can point at right now that is causing all of the woes and the technical problems in the world?
Well, I would begin with the eclipse this morning at 11-something a.m. and go on down the line to our wonderful Capricorn-influenced Saturn, Jupiter, and Pluto alignment banging the heck out of us. It's as if we're being pistol-whipped by the cosmos.
When did Jupiter and Saturn actually go in conjunction and are lined right up with each other? So they become the Christmas star. That's in another, week?
Yes, that's on the solstice, on the 21st.
Amazing.
And there's been a lot of heavy-handed talk about this is the star of Bethlehem that they saw so long ago. Indeed, it is in those periods of time that this alignment happens so succinctly that in our geodetic or earth watch, we see the Saturn, Jupiter planets move in perfect alignment one another, that they reflect back that quality of light that is like, where did that star come from?
Right. Now, you said there was an eclipse again this morning. Wasn't there an eclipse like a week ago or something? What was the lunar eclipse a week and a half ago or something?
2 weeks ago, yes, there was a lunar eclipse. This is eclipse season. And today there was a solar eclipse. And when eclipses happen, things go funny.
Now, you said there was a solar eclipse. Where on Earth was that observed?
I don't know. I think it was someplace, probably the Philippines. I'm not.
Wait
quite
a minute.
Sure.
Wait. You said now was it a solar or a lunar eclipse today?
It was a solar eclipse. It was not visible from the eastern seaboard of
And
America.
It was a solar eclipse that was in the Philippines. Is that what you just said?
I was joking, but I will find out where it
was. Because I've been on the phone for 5.5 hours today for DirecTV trying to settle a bill dispute and a service cutoff in Fire Island, which, of course, is off-season. So our service is suspended on Fire Island during the winter, and there was a mix-up and a misunderstanding, and our service was not turned off to the little house out there in Cherry Grove. So it's been running to a boarded-up house. The television sets have been on. They haven't been on, but the service was on out there. And so we've been paying a DirecTV bill for service that we didn't need, that normally we suspend over the winter. And I have been on the phone, and I'm not trying to be prejudiced in any way, but I have talked with home workers for DirecTV who clearly are from the Philippines, because it's been the Philippine. And I've been on the phone. George and I have been on the phone with various DirecTV employees who sound like they're from the Philippines, and their connection certainly sounds like it's from the Philippines. And it has been one catastrophe after another, being switched over and then disconnected and calling again, waiting for 20 minutes while the recordings go through and you're rerouted. And then finally someone answers, and it's another Filipino employee. And yes, you're talking to people who it's 6 a.m. there. I mean, it was agony. So if there was an eclipse in the Philippines, it makes perfect sense. No wonder those poor people are terrified of what's going on and were so discombobulated. DirecTV's records were crashing.
Absolutely.
Their AT&T records and their computers, everything was crashing over there. And there was nothing that the employees could do. They were all, you know.
There's been a lot of crash today. I will tell you, it was a total solar eclipse, one of the most awe-inspiring phenomena that is available in our skies. And it happened at not 11 a.m., but at 9:40 a.m. this morning. People around the world weren't able to see most of it live. Passive totality tracked only over parts of South America, stretching from Chavera, Chile, to Salina del Edge, Argentina.
Yep.
So from Chile to Argentina, they got quite a show, but we got quite a backfire here in the United States.
I resent that because if we don't get the fun of the eclipse, why must we suffer only the punishment of it? You know, South America apparently got a wonderful solar eclipse. And they saw the solar prominences or eruptions on the surface. Oh my gosh, I had no idea. Apparently, it was absolutely gorgeous. The next solar eclipse will happen over Antarctica on December 4th, a year from now. Well, that's very frustrating.
My birthday.
But if, but our Argentine friends, our Argentine and Chile and Uruguayan friends, everyone down below in South America apparently had an incredible solar eclipse. Oh, and for heaven's sakes, remember this? I remember talking to you about this. They had a back-to-back solar eclipse, spectacular one. They had one last year in the winter, also in the late afternoon. Isn't that amazing? So Argentina and Chile both had solar eclipses 2 years in a row, total beautiful solar eclipses 2 years in a row. That's amazing. How exciting for them.
Well,
that's very
I'll tell
exciting.
You, a total solar eclipse is something to see. I've seen a couple in my life. And you can find this one, everybody, over on YouTube at CNET for the highlights. But it only lasted a total of about 2.5 minutes or 2 minutes. And basically, the sun's energy and its effect on planet Earth went sort of like an engine winding down and then revving back up, you know?
Right.
So that's quite an influence to have over planets, you know? And remember, this was just us, just Earth. Because it, you know, so basically we've had quite a day here on planet Earth.
And it continues here on Blog Talk Radio with all sorts of technical glitches here as well. Not only AT&T's billing departments and DirecTV, but Blog Talk Radio. I want to remind everyone our number is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. We're being brought to you tonight here on Come Now, Don't Sell by DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners like you. Listen, Gwendolyn, in addition to being our producer and the founder of the Here Be Monsters studio, is also the head chemist and founder of DaughtersOfIsis.com. Do you have, briefly, do you have like a fragrance that we should be looking for on your website to purchase as a Christmas present? Something
well,
that's appropriate
up,
for this
well,
time where the universe is ending?
Yes. Yes, I have a very good apocryphal kind of a scent to stand out.
Wonderful. Apocryphal.
Our Wormwood Shaman Mist is a lovely, it's one of our Peruvian shamanic blends. It's a fragrant tool for moments of crossing between worlds, between places, between people. It's a threshold dissolving assistant. It's all about the immortal quality of our lives, exploring the dynamics of eternity. This is what shamans do. It's assistance during moments of crossing. It's one of those extraordinary scents that you can work with that makes you sit and take account of what is happening in the moment. It's a blend of clove buds and armoire or mugwort, actual wormwood, Bulgarian lavender, and a rose attar from Egypt. So it's a real subtle but penetrating scent. And what it does for you emotionally is it gives you calm. It makes you, it influences you sensually to take a moment to find your resolutions and, you know, let the past go and be in the moment.
Wow, wonderful. And it contains actual wormwood.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, which, of course,
sure.
is what's in absinthe, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The,
it is.
The drink absinthe.
Mm-hmm, it is. This is a verdant green scent that is supported by the sharpness of mugwort, which is another, armoire is another artemisia-like wormwood, same family, cousins. And then the clove bud has a warmth to it that penetrates all the oils. The Bulgarian lavender is cold but calming, and the rose attar gives you that hug at the end.
Wonderful. Wonderful. It sounds excellent.
Pay me for this. This kind of PR work. Oh, okay.
It sounds like something I should be not only wearing but perhaps drinking. perhaps I'll get the family size bottle. I want to remind everybody, our phone number, if you'd like to call in tonight, is 323-784-9639. Do check daughtersofisis.com. That's all one word. On your laptops during our broadcast tonight and check out all their amazing products. They are mind-expanding. They are spirit-expanding. They are intellect-expanding. Do check out their website because their products are absolutely wonderful. While we're waiting for people, I'm just going to mention to everybody at home that Mummy is indeed has been in Facebook jail for a couple of days. I was notified 5 days ago, 6 days ago, that I was going to be in Facebook jail for a post that did not – how did they put it? It wasn't hate speech. They were more polite than that. They said for a post that didn't meet their community standards on Facebook. And then they – quoted it. They didn't show it to me, but they quoted it or something. And I used the word fag in it, but I used it ironically. I used it in a satirical way as a refutation of hate and bigotry. But of course, either their pills on the board there and are, you know, suffer from Asperger's, or they so they have no sense of irony or satire, or their computers are not developed enough to recognize satire or irony. So in other words, if Mel Brooks was a kid and posted Springtime for Hitler on there, they would take him off and he'd be put in Facebook jail for hate speech and for being an anti-Semite. It's very interesting how it works. Either one way or another, apparently they're either going through their old records. By the way, this post was from 8 years ago, eight, count them, 8 years ago. So either they're going through their old records, or as some of my Facebook friends and fans have said, a hater went through my old photographs and posts and albums and found it and then posted it and complained to the Facebook powers that be that Sybil had said a bad word. And so they reviewed it, and without coming to me, they just took me off. Then they asked me if I wanted to appeal, which I did. But, of course, you're appealing to, again, a logarithm or an algorithm or whatever. So I wrote out a thing saying this is clearly a statement against LGBT violence and prejudice. But no one got back to me. And, of course, Facebook is another 1%. You know, corporation run by Murdoch and Zuckerberg and all of them, Donald Trump. So there's no phone number that you can call. You can't speak to anyone at Facebook. There's no way to speak to anyone there. So it's one of these monoliths that is a trillion-dollar corporation that preys on the public, drains us of our money, you know, provides us with a questionable service, and then is unreachable, even when they squash our hopes and dreams. So anyway, I'm back in Facebook jail. I was taken out last night or this morning, and I posted, and the reason I knew I was in Facebook jail and the way I knew I was not was things that I posted on my own personal pages got no responses. They were not liked or commented on. In fact, Gwendolyn just went on my homepage, my personal page, and couldn't see the things that I've posted in the last couple of hours. I posted earlier this morning one of those Facebook banners where they do the logo. They do a screen of like a pattern of some like fire burning or smiley faces or whatever. And I posted this about Jill Biden because it was in the news today. Jill Biden's doctoral title. For those of you that don't know or aren't following the news, which is shocking, Jill Biden has a doctoral title in education. So she received, you know, a PhD in education, and she is technically called Dr. Jill Biden. Well, the Wall Street Journal, which is of course an organ of Rupert Murdoch and Donald Trump by extension, their Joseph Epstein condescendingly wrote an op-ed piece saying, come on, kiddo, referring to Jill Biden, the first lady, to be as kiddo. Apparently he felt he was allowed to do that because that's what Joe Biden calls his wife, kiddo. So he said, come on, Jill Biden, kiddo, don't you think you should drop the doctor from the front of your name? It's very pretentious, et cetera, et cetera. And at one point, apparently, he claimed that the only people that should be claiming the title doctor in front of their names are people who, quote, deliver a baby. So a cardiac, a brain surgeon would not qualify as a doctor? I don't understand this. But anyway, he's got a bachelor's, and Jill Biden has two master's degrees and then finally went for a doctorate's degree. I said in my little banner there, it's the one with the poops floating in the air. So they look like Hershey Kisses, and they have eyes and smiles, but they're in fact this brown. And if you look at them, you can see that they're poops. It says RE:#, Jill Biden's doctoral title. #WSJ, meaning Wall Street Journal. Dump those dumb, and then I put a asterisk in there so that it wasn't obscenity. Dump those dumb blanks. Joseph Epstein and Zhigo, who's the editor, if 45's personal sexist bigots. Then I also said if Joseph Epstein had made his idiot remark about Jill Biden's doctoral degree to Melania Trump, all hell would have broken loose. Now, Jill Biden has two masters and a doctoral degree. Melania Trump, that junk magazine centerfold, can barely speak English, can barely function in this country in an intellectual way. She mutilated the Rose Garden. I mean, she's worthless and a pinup girl. And if that had been said to her in any regard, to any degree she got, including a beauty salon degree, this country would have been – the Wall Street Journal would have been apoplectic. They would have had their knee so jerked it would have been up their own anuses. So I'm just going to tell you right now that Wall Street Journal now is nothing more for me, #. I have relegated the Wall Street Journal to our toilet tissue department in our master bathroom. That's where the Wall Street Journal will now reside. Is it scratchy? Yes, but it is absorbent, and I wash afterwards anyway. So that's where the Wall Street Journal is going, along with Zhigo and Epstein and the rest of them. I am stunned that this is what happens. And that for that post, by the way. What? I'm sorry.
I've known this about the WSJ for, oh my gosh, 10 years, honey.
Of course.
It's nothing but recent, and it's up to the usual Trump standards of intelligence.
Yes. Yes. So I didn't post any of that. I didn't say that I'm going to use it as toilet paper. I didn't say any of that. All I said was these two things, and my page shut down completely. So Facebook listeners right now, you will be able to find me. I shouldn't say this. My God, you know, Zuckerberg's spies will take me off there. Apparently, because I am on the Lollipop Guild page, I can continue to post on the Lollipop Guild page. I slip through there because I'm one of many members. But my own pages, my professional Sybil Brunchen page, my personal Sybil Brunchen page, are shut down again. So that's the status of where we are right now. That answers all the questions about Facebook jail. I want to congratulate, and I'm sure that my producer, Gwendolyn, wants to congratulate not only Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for being the persons of the year for Time Magazine, but also Dr. Fauci and the health workers for being the guardians of the year. Fauci was almost going to be the person of the year, and they should have made him and the health workers the persons of the year because they certainly have been in the news around the clock, but they made him the guardians of the year. And of course, who else but Donald Trump immediately went apoplectic that he wasn't made the person of the year. This is the sad thing about notoriety, and I include the Kardashians and the Real Housewives and Andy Cohen's whole bevy of nightmare, you know, over entitled bitches on the Real Housewives. People think that fame means virtue. And Donald Trump thinks that being the person of the year means he's the most wonderful person of the year. And Time's you know, Henry Luce's original concept of the time man of the year or the person of the year was that it was the person who was in the news the most. And I'm sure the board of directors there said, well, wait a minute, Henry, you can't, people will immediately think you're saying that this is a congratulatory thing. This is the Oscar for best performance in, by an actor in a movie. And Henry was like, no, it means the most, you know, the most visible person in the news in the world. Hence Adolf Hitler was man of the year. You know, Mussolini was man of the year. Donald Trump doesn't understand that man of the year is not necessarily a compliment, but they finally pulled that away and said, no, this is a person who is, we can't give it to someone who's a nightmare because then they'll just think that they're wonderful. So that's why they did not give it to Donald Trump, because in fact, he should have been the man of the year. He has been in every news cycle. He has been in every headline for everything. He is our health crisis. He is our political crisis. He is our budget crisis. He is our collapsing economy. He is the giveaway to the billionaire class. He is the ruination of the working class. He is, in fact, the man of the year. But to give it to him, you'd have to write an entire magazine issue about the fact that he is Satan's child walking the planet. And that's why he qualifies as man of the year. Joe Biden does not qualify as man of the year, nor does Kamala Harris. They don't qualify as person of the year because, in fact, they did not wreck the earth. they did not wreak as much havoc on this planet. They were not in every single news cycle. They were given it because it's turned into a popularity contest. It's turned into a hope for the best contest. It's turned into a let's acknowledge people for virtuous reasons, not for notoriety. And so that's lovely. That's lovely. And they need to state that. But he certainly was not the center of all news items this year. And frankly, Anthony Fauci was close, but he was not the center of all news items. It was Donald Trump. Donald Trump was the black hole of life on this planet. That's the best. I haven't heard any other commentators say that, and I own that now. I'm declaring, even though I'm not on MSNBC, Donald Trump should have been the man of the year because he is indeed the black hole, spiritually, physically, philosophically, intellectually, metaphysically, in every way. Donald Trump is the giant black hole, and everything he stands for and all of his imps are the swirling mass disappearing into that massive, impossible to get away from black hole. All life, all news has sunk into that monster. And so that's where that is. On the other hand, I do congratulate Harris and Biden and Fauci and all the health workers. I congratulate the Black Lives Matter people. I congratulate all of them. And your being acknowledged by Time Magazine is indeed something that we hope will change. And we hope that the black hole of Donald Trump will somehow dwindle or exhaust itself or suck enough of its poop into it, into itself, that it will choke on it and die somehow in 2021 or 2022 or in the next election cycle, something. Okay, so that's where we stand on the Fauci, health workers, Biden, Harris thing. Good news for everyone I know is that the Supreme Court, amazingly, even though it's filled with his imps, denied Trump's appeals on the election recount and the certification. It seems incredible.
Everything's been thrown out of court, and today the Electoral College gave the election to Biden.
Yes, but what I'm saying is I'm not surprised about that. What I'm surprised is that the Supreme Court, which is filled with his hand puppets, his fist-fucking pals, you know, especially the latest one, Amy Barrett or whatever her name is, a worthless bimbo, a woman who should hang her head in shame and should go to the same bin of trash that Susan Collins, you know, should be in. Anyway, she apparently the Supreme Court voted against Donald Trump's appeals. That is absolutely amazing. And I'll tell you something, maybe it's because since they're all millionaires, all nine of them or whatever, that they reflected on the fact that if they pulled a remake of the election of 2000 and through the election or through something Donald Trump's way, that there aren't enough Swiss guards in front of the Supreme Court. There aren't enough Swiss guards. I'm referring to Versailles and Louis XVI. There aren't enough people to defend them in front of the building of the Supreme Court to dispel the torch-bearing, sickle-bearing, scythe-bearing, pitchfork-bearing people that would have stormed the Supreme Court and hurled them, Clarence Thomas, all of them, Amy Barrett, who's served for 15 minutes now, all of them. And it would have dug up Scalia's body. They would have found Scalia's body and thrown that into a bonfire. It's like if they had done that, if they had said, yep, you know what, Donald Trump's got a point. We're going to listen to Texas after all. That would have been their death knell. That would have been their death knell. Well, people would have gunned them down in the street.
But it would have been the death knell of American democracy and the Constitution.
Yeah.
And
that's why people might have stormed the Supreme Court. Gwendolyn, that's why people may have – they might have had people in Washington, D.C., the working class, might have gone to the Supreme Court. It's not surrounded with barbed wire.
It doesn't have
six fences in front of it.
The skies did not come out. People did not take to their triggers to get rid of these horrendous people like – McConnell and Bill Barr, who is, I guess, being eaten by his own too today. And I heard late this afternoon that Giuliani is screaming to the media who will listen to him that if Trump throws him under the bus, he's got records he can pull on him.
Well,
I mean, they're eating their own right now, but we knew this. I mean, you could knock it over with a feather, honey. I mean,
well, what's funny to me is nobody studies history, but Caligula and Nero and other people, Hitler did the same thing. These monsters first of all, they climb the ladder of power by using their support people on each other. Hitler's climb to power was that he kept, you know, his sidekicks all nipping at each other and competing to be Hitler's favorite. And there were people, hundreds of them, that were chewed up in the machinery as Hitler began to be more and more powerful. The problem is that sets a precedent. And when the whole house of cards begins to collapse, if you've turned enough of your allies against each other and you've betrayed enough of them, as Caligula did, as Nero did, as Trump has done with, he's fired more people and humiliated more people than any other president in the United States history. Once you do that, you run the risk of leaving the Colosseum during a performance with your Praetorian Guard and going through an underground passage to the palace and having the Praetorian Guard look at each other and say, you know, he screwed senators, he screwed other consuls, he screwed all these different millionaires, he screwed all these allies, and it's only a matter of time before he starts to screw us. It's better that we pull out our swords here in the basement of the palace in Rome and disembowel Caligula here and now. And that's what they did. Caligula apparently begged them not to hack him to pieces, and he said, but you can't kill me, I'm a god. And then, of course, they spilled his guts all over the ground and tore him to pieces. This is what they did to Mussolini. This is what Hitler was smart enough to know, that if he was caught alive, that's what would happen, that the German people would take him out and pull him to pieces and throw living pieces of him into a fire. And he took care of it himself. So the problem is that if Donald Trump continues this, I'm sorry, what?
Tore his little entrails, little boots of entrails from barge to barge.
So if Donald Trump continues this with Bill Barr and with, you know, Giuliani and with other people, you know, it's very interesting. At what point is some crackpot in that, you know, is Scalise or, you know, McConnell, or is someone with a knife or a gun, is someone with a paperweight on their desk going to pick it up and bring it down on that orange cotton candy skull of his? So, people risk, when they get this crazy, they risk having it turn out very badly for themselves. And that's what's going on. The fact that he would have turned on Bill Barr now at the end is just astounding to me. And that Giuliani has rabies, but even he is rational enough to know that, you know, if Trump can turn on Barr, who isn't he going to turn on? He's humiliated everyone who has ever, Sean Spicer, everybody. He's even turned on his own network, Fox, which is why the Fox network has this offshoot now, another network that we talked about last week. What is it, America First or First Patriots?
Newsmax.
Whatever it is.
They're renaming.
A catastrophe.
Yeah.
Speaking of catastrophe, yeah. This is one I want to talk to everybody about and you. According to Chuck Todd and NBC's Meet the Press this past Sunday, COVID has now qualified, apparently, for 6 of the 10 deadliest days against American citizens in its history. So in other words, the Galveston hurricane of 1900 still has a death toll of around 8,000, and the Battle of Antietam has a death toll of about 3,600, okay, in the Civil War. And the 1906 yeah. San Francisco earthquake has about 3,400, but again, it was hard to know because bodies were literally incinerated. So, it's hard to know but they estimate that it was 3,400. But then, number four, okay, this is appalling. Number four in the death rate of American citizens in one day goes to COVID this past Thursday. I think that was December 10th. So that will now go on the list of deadliest days in the United States. COVID Thursday, 3,100 Americans died on Thursday of COVID. And as if that isn't bad enough, number five is COVID for Wednesday, the day before,
yeah.
was 3,102. So Thursday was 3,110. Wednesday was 3,102. Then after that, okay, this is shocking. September 11th is number six on the list now. It's been bumped down with 2,977. And then next to that is COVID, 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 COVID. COVID May 6th, COVID last Friday, COVID April 22nd, and COVID December 3rd. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the last 10 days, deadliest days, are COVID, and they are in this past week or month. They are in December. They are in only April 22nd was 2,800. So COVID is eating American people while the president continues to sit in a brown and yellow diaper and fuss and betray his own followers, and is supported by hundreds of congressmen and senators. Still. Pearl Harbor is no longer on the list, by the way, everybody. Pearl Harbor is no longer on the top 10 list of the deadliest days in American history. We are now at 212,000 new cases of COVID per day. That's 212,000 people are diagnosed with COVID every day. Do the math.
That's scary.
Some of you people are listening to Mummy and Gwendolyn right now. You live in Buttpolk, Idaho. You have 1,100 people in your town. 212,000 people. It's incredible. Yeah, Gwendolyn, I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
It's scary. Well, you know, for the last few minutes of tonight's performance by Mummy, I would love to bring up what solstice means this year, was all of the seriousness. You know, my community, the spiritual community on the planet, is calling it sacred solstice. And basically, what it is it a new vibrational resonance for Earth as we enter the dawn of Aquarius. See, what, and I'll take this on my shoulders, and a lot of astrologers have taken it on theirs, and I think that this solstice is the final opening of the door into the Aquarian age. It's the great conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn at 0 degrees of Aquarius. You remember.
Yeah.
A gift from the Pleiades, the seven sisters. And it is an intergalactic kind of a ceremony that is going on. It's cosmic. And all over the world, from Uluhu down in, and down under to Haleakala Crater in Hawaii, to the Serpent Mounds in Ohio, to Stonehenge in England, and then on down to Michael's in Gaul in France, the island where Cathedral is, and Glastonbury. Of course, you noticed I went to all the Celts, right? but all of the sacred sites, because what's going to happen is it is an opportunity for people to look on a point of evolution, because now we are graduating into not just a new age, but a new cosmic year. 26,000 years, what the astronomers and astrologers call a great year, which means we are about to begin a brand new journey through each of the different constellations that make up the zodiac and create our ages of being. So this winter solstice on the 21st of December, when you look up into the night sky and you are enabled to see 0 degree alignment of Jupiter and Saturn, which many people, many astrologers think and astronomers think could have been the actual Star of Bethlehem that was recorded back way back when. This is a moment to pause and realize that this is quite a time to be alive. Yes, we're facing apocalypse now. We are also facing evolution of humanity. And I just wanted to slip that in there, Mommy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I, being an Aquarius and born in the year of the dragon, I am so hopeful about so much, even in the face of so much being so discouraging. You know, it's I was just looking up, and I'm sorry, what?
It's triggering. It's a trick. COVID is a triggering event for the species on the top of the planet.
A great vomiting of the Earth. Yes, a great vomiting of the cosmos. It is, in fact, it's the bad oyster that was swallowed and is going to trigger this vast vomiting of gunk out of this system. Well, I'm not going to dwell on what I was talking about before you did our wonderful celestial broadcast and what we can hope for this coming year after a lot of anguish. But I just entered 212,000 into my computer, and list of cities that are 212,000 or less. And I am shocked to say that 212,000 people being diagnosed with COVID a day is more than the people who live in Providence, Rhode Island, or Jackson, Mississippi. Those are two state capitals. They're more than, they are less than 200. So that's that would be wiping out Providence. That would be wiping out Salem, Oregon. That would be wiping out Jackson, Mississippi. That would be wiping out Tallahassee, Florida. Tallahassee only has 194,000 people in it. Little Rock, Arkansas, less than 200. That's more than 212,000 people is more than all the people in Little Rock. Imagine all of the people in Little Rock being diagnosed with COVID in one day. Imagine all the people in Montgomery, Alabama. These are all these red states, by the way. Montgomery, Alabama. More than that. That's only 198,000. Salt Lake City. More than that. Salt Lake City is only 200,000. What if all of Salt Lake City, all those Mormons, were diagnosed with COVID in one day? Des Moines, Iowa. All these red states. Look at this. Des Moines. All of Des Moines diagnosed with COVID. Imagine that. Imagine that. It boggles the mind that this is where we are, that this is what would happen. It's just astounding. It's just astounding. So I urge everyone to continue to wear masks and to continue to safe distance. And when you start pouting and fussing and, you know, people's restaurants are going to serve indoors now and they're you know, it's too cold to eat outdoors. Boo hoo hoo. Just remember that most of this country, and I'm sorry to say it, lots of parts of New York, New York City, people ignored the warnings that their governors, their intelligent governors were making, certainly not stupid governors of states, but that Cuomo, Tom Wolf of Pennsylvania, Murphy of New Jersey, they warned people to be safe distancing, not doing street parties, not doing sorority and fraternity idiot beer blasts together, not to be doing this. And everyone did it. They warned over Thanksgiving, do not go into airports and fly all over the country and go see all your relatives and have Thanksgiving dinner with 27 people. Don't go to open air things. Don't go to stadiums. Nope, everyone wanted to do it. And now we're seeing COVID spike again, right? COVID is spiking again with record-breaking deaths and infection rates that are dwarfing, okay? And yet we still have Caligula in office. No one has murdered him in a basement. No one has taken McConnell, all these enablers. No one has taken flimsy Graham Cracker of South Carolina, the loser state of all time. I mean, talk about a state. Oh, by the way, Gwendolyn, did you hear that some of the states, there are politicians in some of these states that are talking about secession again? They're talking about secession again.
That's going to go a long way down the road when they get a load of the state's budget.
Well, that's what I said to George. I said, what I love it is these loser states. You know something? Everyone criticizes New York, and New York has lots to be criticized for. But let's be honest. New York pays more, brings more into the federal government's budget. It gives more. It is a rich, and it's a riches-producing state and takes less than it puts in. States like Mississippi, Alabama, right? Arkansas, right? These states take out more money from the federal government than they contribute. Okay? So it's interesting that they're red states because, in fact, it's kind of apropos. They're kind of in the red states, aren't they? They're states that want money but then criticize everyone about socialism. So this is a fascinating thing that's going on. And it's really interesting that these are the states that are fussing about their governors finally having to face the fact that they are going to have to shut down indoor dining. They're going to have to shut down all of the stuff as the holidays unwind because they misbehaved. It's like talking to children. Bad children do things, and then at the dinner table, father and mother explain, no, you're grounded because you did the bad thing. You left your bicycle unlocked and unprotected, and it was stolen. So now you're grounded, and no, I will not be buying you a bicycle this Christmas. You did what I told you not to do with the bicycle, and now because you're six and you're a spoiled brat, I have to punish you. And that's what COVID is doing. COVID is pushing these idiot governors up against the wall and forcing even them, that hillbilly idiot woman, governor of South or North Dakota, whichever one, they're both the same. It's like the woman who was like in Donald Trump's pocket through all of the summer. And now, of course, her state is ruined with COVID. And now she's like, boo-hooing, oh, I guess I'll have to wear a mask after all. You're an idiot. You know, and this is what's happening. And so this is the world we live in now as Christmas is coming. It's devastating. 212,000 new cases per day. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do? My complaint, and I've said this to Gwendolyn, and Gwendolyn has laughed because she loves my bad sense of humor. The bad news about COVID, the bad news about COVID is that it doesn't kill the right people. See, if COVID was killing the people who were stupid and servicing it, that would be wonderful. But see, it's unfair because COVID kills the people that wear masks or have been careful about social distancing. But their daughter came and visited them for Christmas or Thanksgiving. COVID is eating up the people with asthma who might be being careful. But, you know, someone got too close to them at the farmer's market or something. So people who are infecting each other and everything but aren't dying because their genetic makeup makes them immune to COVID. Some of us are, you know, going to be exposed to it and not get it. But it's a shame that people that are stupid or obnoxious or science deniers or mask refusers, right, or flat worlders or Trumpsters, those people have not paid the price. They pay some of the price, but there are lots of innocent people who are paying the price. Just as in the measles issue, measles vaccinations. Some people just don't want to get vaccinated about measles. I don't have to. I don't want to. The Constitution says I don't have to. But when you infect a pregnant woman who's in the grocery line next to you, and she is, you know, 7 months pregnant, and you have now injured or killed her infant because you had measles, and you are carrying it, and she is not protected. Yeah, the mirror cracked. Agatha Christie, The Mirror Cracked. And there's Agatha Christie writing that book 70 years ago. And it's like, you know, it's just incredible about a woman who got infected right after World War II with measles and lost her baby and bore a grudge. And Agatha Christie put it right into a murder mystery. Very clever. Very clever. About an issue that was, and they didn't even have a vaccine at that point. So, anyway, well, there's our show, basically. I was hoping to hear from Pamela and hear about food. By the way, Pamela Jett is absolutely the food genius. She's the food guru on Lollipop Guild. Please join us all on the Civil Brunch and Lollipop Guild. Admission and membership is free. Just join us there. Pamela's in charge of our fabulous food Fridays when we post recipes, and she's doing an incredible job of recipes there. And people are posting everything, Musical Mondays. You can post whatever you want there. It's a place of happiness and joy. You won't be seeing me on Facebook, I guess, because I'm in jail again for God knows how long. But you can find me at SybilSez.com. That's SybilSez.com. I just wrote a whole series of Kitty Chaos in the Creche for Christmas. So you can find those on the Lollipop Guild, and you can find all sorts of things on SybilSez.com and SybilBrunchen.com. I will be posting all my holiday stories, my holiday recipes, and videos and everything, YouTube videos, Tourette's, everything there. So you can find me there, and you can find Gwendolyn and me here Monday, God willing, providing there isn't another eclipse, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. Gwendolyn, I really ran with the show, and I'm sorry, but I want to remind everyone we're brought to everybody every week by DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners like you. Thank you. Please check out DaughtersOfIsis.com. I think they'll be able to squeeze in one last delivery of presents before the holiday, but you got to get going because their mailroom is...
We are shipping ongoing. We are just shipping. We're just pouring and shipping, pouring and shipping.
So their shipping department will do anything they can, and they'll try to have your orders to you before Christmas. But if Santa doesn't get it there in time, it will be there shortly afterwards. Do run, do not walk to them. And, well, that's our show. I love you all. Gwendolyn and I will look for you next week, Monday at 8 p.m. Good night, Gwendolyn. I love you.
I love you too, Mommy. Good night.
See you next Monday, sweet dreams.